Say amen. All right, we're talking on the subject, living in the supernatural. And this is indeed an exciting topic, because this is where we've been designed to live. Amen. These problems are not problems to us, they're opportunities. Amen. Am I right about it? I mean, this is the right bunch that I'm talking to, isn't it? Okay. All right, let's pray and we'll get started. Let's read the Word of God, read our foundation text and get started. Verse 5 of Galatians chapter 3. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Spirit, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with who? Faithful Abraham, or believing Abraham. All right. Now, last time we were here, we were talking on this, on several topics, really, as we've been doing in the past. We're talking about one thing is needful. And to do that, we went over to Luke's gospel, and Luke's gospel chapter 10. If you have that, please, would you go over there with me? Luke's gospel chapter 10. Now, if you can't find these scriptures, you can, of course, look on the screen, and we are putting the scriptures up on the screen, make it easy for you to get to. This is starting at verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Now, it kind of makes it look like this was Jesus by himself, but it wasn't. Jesus had disciples with him. He had 12, and many times they traveled with part of their family because they didn't have where to keep them or whatever have you. But Jesus not only had 12 disciples, but by this time he had picked up another 70. So a good number of people showed up at Martha's house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. That's what we ask you to underline. Sat at his feet and heard his word. But Martha was coming about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Woo-wee. All right, okay. One of the things we said is that one thing is the Word of God. And the Word of God is in the Bible. This Bible here, it's the Word of God. And everything that mankind would need, ever need, is provided for him or her in the Word of God. Everything. If it's not in here, you don't need it. And so here we talked about this whole idea of the supernatural. And we're talking about God's word, that if you're operating in the word of God will take you to a supernatural realm. The word of God will take you to a supernatural realm because the word of God is supernatural. The Word of God is God. No, I didn't get many amens on that. The Word of God is God. In the beginning was the Word was what? With God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1, verse 1. He was God. So, okay, in the beginning, the Word created all these things. And now what happened, you've got Adam and Eve here. And now God is blessed Adam. Why? Because Adam is now to continue the work of creation. That now God placed them in this garden, and they were in this garden ruling from the Garden of Eden. Garden of Eden is the atmosphere of heaven. And so now Here's Adam, and Adam was told not to eat of a certain tree. If he did, he would surely die. So they ate of the tree, and they died. Now the kingdom departed. Adam was put out, and now Jesus, the last Adam, comes to bring the kingdom back. So he came, and he modeled the potential that was in mankind that once Adam had, Jesus now was restoring. He was restoring the blessing. He was restoring the authority. He was restoring all of that. Now, mankind has to receive this and has to now move in this new reality and be able to continue the work of creation, making every spot in the earth like the Garden of Eden. So, Jesus was showing them how to do that. And what we said is God deliberately sends the righteous among the wicked. Why? Because the light shines best in darkness. Now also, that the blessing was designed to come on us, the blessing of Abraham, now came from Abraham on down, which was the Eden blessing. It was designed to come on us to not only distinguish us, but to give us this supernatural ability to create the things that God had planned for this earth independent of the forces that are coming against it. And that God distinguishes us by the blessing. Now understand, we talked about the fact you can do long prayers, but I can go to other religions that do long prayers or other faith that do long prayers. You can do all of that. Everything on earth just about can be copied except the blessing. The blessing is that powerful. All right, so as we look at this, now the kingdom of God is capable of supplying everything that's needed and that Adam would need. And this kingdom of God, we said, had come in the earth, and more than in the earth, the kingdom of God is within you. Now we talked about in this that we are to live on another level. We are to live on another level. That there is a normal intelligence that has been given to mankind. Thank God for that. But there is another level that we can live that Adam and Jesus lived on in this earth. In fact, just about everything that happened to Jesus, every situation that Jesus was in, he called or reached for heaven's solutions. Now that is very important to you. But no matter what the situation was or what it called for, Jesus reached for heaven's solutions. And so he, again, is modeling how we should operate and the potential that we have in this earth. Now, the boundaries for our lives are not on the outside. The boundaries for our lives is on the inside. So we've got to renew our minds to what God says we are. God says over in Isaiah 55 and verse 8, that my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And it goes up on and says in verse 9, he says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways in your ways and my thoughts in your thoughts. He wasn't saying that because he was saying, look at me, I'm up here and you're down there. No, not indeed. The Bible says we are joint heirs with Christ, that whatever he got, we got as well. And so what we did is we went over to Revelation, and we went over to Revelation and chapter 5, and look at verse 11 and 12. Here's what it says. And I beheld and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now, all these things are part of the inheritance package. Say that, inheritance package. Say it again, inheritance package, all right? This is your redemptive heritage. This is what you have been born into. This is what the Lamb got, and this is what you got, because you are joint heirs with Him. You got power. Power is God's ability, mighty power. You've got riches, you got wealth, you've got wisdom, you got something that the world doesn't have. In fact, the smartness of Egypt could not deliver them from the famine. When the famine was coming, they had no wisdom to deliver themselves. And what I said is casinos and gambling boats and everything are not going to be able to deliver the people today, because the world has a limited wisdom that is operating on a fallen realm. And it says also strength, and that strength we centered in on, I want to come back to that, and honor and glory, honor having to do with your position and glory having to do with the anointing, glory and blessing we just talked about. Now, in terms of this strength, what we said is that God wants us or desires for us to live long and strong. And so what we did is we went over to the life of Jacob, come on over there, and we went over to Genesis chapter 47. Let's do it one more time, please. Genesis chapter 47. While you're finding 47, just flip back and find Genesis chapter 37 as well. We'll just do both of them. Glory to God. Okay, you with me? All right, look at Genesis chapter 47. And this is when, let me explain it to you. This is when Jacob comes down and is joining Joseph. Now, Joseph was down in Egypt. God raised him up. What raised him up? Wisdom. The wisdom of God is given to you to distinguish you. The Bible says that those who have wisdom will shine as stars. So it's designed to make you a star. And so as the wisdom of God was in Joseph and he was raised up, now Joseph had a solution to how to avoid the famine that was going to be worldwide. So now he does this, and because of that, Joseph became prime minister and so forth and so on. So now his family is coming to join him. Now they're suffering from the famine, so they're having to send down every year and get groceries to come back up there and feed all Jacob's tribe. Now there's a lot of people with Jacob, because the Bible says over there in Genesis, 42, that he said he left home with just a walking stick, and now he's got two armies. So he's got a lot of people to feed. You know, when you go to that grocery store, you get one cereal box, that thing just about big as the whole bag, the box, basket. So my point to you is he's not just going down there shopping for himself. When he was sending his sons down, they were getting food in wagons, and they were getting them for a whole year. And if you don't believe it, go back and read the Bible. And so now, in this, when Jacob now finds out that Joseph is there, he found out in Genesis chapter 45, where once his brothers brought Benjamin, Benjamin represented precious seed. Once they brought precious seed, now they got everything. They got everything. They didn't have sacks anymore. They had wagon loads. And he sent back and sent empty wagons to bring Jacob them back down. Well, they came and said, Jacob, Joseph is alive. Well, why do they have to tell him that? Because he was told, let's just hold something right there. Let's just flip over here. He was told that Joseph, he was told that Joseph's coat had blood on it. And he assumed that Joseph, his son, had been killed by a beast. Now, let's look at this. Now, I'm staying on this point for a reason. Praise God. So verse 31, and they took Joseph's coat and killed the kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors and brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. Now, First of all, this is a real sad trick that the sons are going to play on their dad. But I'm going to show you how they got into that, because they're some haters. All right, now let's just look at this. All right, look at this. Look at verse 33. And he knew it and said, "It is my son's coat, and evil beasts have devoured him. And Joseph, without doubt, is rent in pieces." And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, and he said, "For I will go down to the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Now, notice what Jacob said. Verse 33, "It is my son's coat, and evil beasts had devoured it." All right. Now, let's just turn over to Genesis 47. Notice what he said, "An evil beast had devoured it." Now, God promised that the blessing shall be on you and your seed. The blessing does not only prosper you, but the blessing also protects you. A good way you can look at that is in Genesis chapter 20. I won't go there. But this is when Abraham went down and King Abimelech down in that country. And he said to Sarah, "Now tell the king, you are my sister. Don't tell him you're my wife." Well, they told him that, and the king took Sarah into his harem. And the Bible says the Lord came to the king at night in a dream and said, "You are but a dead man, for you have another man's wife up in here." Got it? Now, just think about that. Somebody trying to molest your child. The Lord coming to him and saying, "You but a dead man." My point to you is that these benefits are phenomenal. I'm going to just say it like that. In other words, they're supernatural benefits. They're benefits that not only does the devil have no right to touch you, that means he can't even put witchcraft on you, because you can't curse what God has blessed. But he can't touch your family. Got it? So what did Jacob do? Jacob looked at the evidence that and assumed this was this. It was so, but it was not so. He was being deceived. Got it? And it came through folk he trusted. I'm gonna help somebody here now. I'm gonna show you how they got into this, see? So next thing that happens is that he starts making these statements. Now what he didn't do is come back to the word. He didn't come back to the covenant and check what the covenant said. Because let God be true and every other piece of evidence be a lie. See, because you're in a place now that the enemy is working on to containment. He knows he can't stop you from being saved because you're already saved, most of the people in here. But what he's trying to do now is stop you from the promised land. He's trying to stop you from getting the best of God, which we're going to talk about today. See, the best of God is that you don't have to worry another day in your life. Oh, Lord, have mercy. The best of God is that you'll never be broke another day in your life. Come on now, don't let me stop there. The best of God is that you'll never be sick another day in your life. Come on, you better help me now. So what am I saying? I'm saying he didn't check with the word. See, one thing is needful, the word of God. And so because he didn't check with the word, then he didn't really know what's happening. He had to receive evidence that had been given to him by some deceitful sources. So what did he do? He made these confessions. Now he's worried. Now he's departed from faith. Now no faith is working, so nothing is keeping him. And now he's subject to this limited life that the same as the children of Israel got in the wilderness when they departed from faith. Say amen to that. What was it, 70 or 80 years? You read it over there in Psalm 90. And we preach that in churches. Well, the Lord give you 70, 80 years. And say it all religious. My point is, at 70, 80 years, man, you're in midlife. See, all right. That's all right. I ain't going to try to quit. I believe it. And so now, what's happened? Pharaoh is asking him something. He's asking him, he's saying, now, how old are you? And what we did is we showed you over here in verse 8, and Pharaoh said to Jacob, how old are you? And Jacob said, this is in Genesis 47 now, pardon me. And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days and years and life of my fathers and the days of their pilgrimage. So you know his father, Isaac, was 180, died at 180. And he now died, his grandfather, Abraham, at 175. Look at chapter 48, verse 1. He said, behold, thy father is sick. Now we said that sick doesn't mean sick, mean infirmity, meaning having some disease. It means worn out. And then we go over to Genesis chapter 49 and look at the last verse, 33. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, giving the prophetic utterance over his sons, he gathered up his feet unto the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered to his people. He was gone. 130, gone. Now, what we said is that we can enter into a life that is designed to wear us out and not know it. Because my people are destroyed for what? A lack of knowledge. Look at Exodus chapter 18 real quick. Over in Exodus chapter 18, how are we doing so far? All right. Exodus chapter 18, this is Moses now, but he's now getting some advice from his father-in-law, Jethro, verse 15. And Moses said to his father-in-law, because if people come unto me to inquire of God, then they have a matter, they come to me and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing that you're doing is not good. Thou wilt surely, what? Wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too, what? Heavy for thee, and thou art not able to, what? Perform it thyself alone. Now hearken now unto my voice, and I'll give you counsel, and God shall be with you. Be thou for the people to Godward, and thou mayest bring the causes to God. Now, that thou mayest bring the causes to God. Now, he is saying to him, all right, now Moses, you're trying to counsel all these people yourself. If you keep doing this, you're not going to live long. See, you're going to cut your life short. Now, I want you to understand that I know in the natural, logical, intellectual world, then that's the best you can do. But Moses, there's another realm. And this is the realm of spiritual power. I've left natural power. I've gone up to another level. And in this spiritual power, What you can do is we can pray and you can speak or lay hands on those leaders that you select based on this criteria. And the anointing that's on you to counsel and give instructions will now come on them. And Moses, they are going to have the same ability that you have. Say amen to that. So my point to you is that Moses now, thinking that he's sincerely doing good, but basically there's a better way to handle that. And because he's operating this way, that is, I call it the Egyptian system, because he's operating by that lower dimension, that inferior world principle, he's now making it so that he's going to reach an early grave. Got it? And even though he was sincere, he was sincerely wrong in terms of God's plan for his life. So God gave Jethro the counsel, and he counseled him. Now, what we said here is that's the supernatural life. That maybe you've been doing something that has been causing somehow you to get worn out. And maybe this thing that happened in your body broke down because maybe you're operating in a way, I'm just thinking now, that is causing your body to get worn out and parts not functioning like they should. Maybe through worry, the arteries have constricted and the blood flow to your extremities and organs is not like it should be. Maybe because of tenseness and anxiety, maybe the nerve endings are causing your muscles to be, I don't know what it is. Even maybe because sometimes of anger, sometimes of getting mad at folks and not forgiving folks, maybe arthritis is setting in. Can I just talk now? The Bible says the curse causeless shall not come. In other words, that's a reason for everything happening. Nothing just happens. Nothing. So it's something down in there. It's a root down in there somewhere. The Bible even talks about over in James. And in James, put up there James chapter 3, please. And look at James chapter 3. I'll start reading at verse 1. Put it up there quickly, please. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that what we shall receive the greater, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Keep going. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle a whole body. Next verse. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Keep going. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and both this great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Keep going. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is a tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Now, what is he saying? He's saying the tongue is kindling. You see something big happening and you see it and a fire is raging. Well, notice they get the arsonists and the experts, they come in and they do investigation. What are they trying to find out? this thing started. And your tongue is kindling. Kindling is used to start a fire. When I was staying in the summertime with my grandmother and granddad, they had a fire in stoves, and they used wood to burn the stoves. They lived in the country. And so they would light this sap wood, strips of wood, pine usually, and it lights real easy. It's called kindling. Well, you take it and put it in there, but you have bigger logs over it. So you put that kindling in there because that kindling will light quickly and cause a flame. And then the big wood lights, and then the whole thing lights, and you got a big fire. Well, where is the kindling? It's gone. I'm saying what you have to do many times is get the Holy Ghost to show you where, how did this thing start? Where is the kindling? What did I do to start this? Because the devil's job is to hide that, to make you not know that your tongue is the thing that started it. It wasn't the devil at all. Your tongue opened the door to Satan coming in. Job said in Job chapter 6, he said, show me where I have erred. Job finally woke up to the fact that God was not moving his blessings from him. The Bible says your blessing is forever. So Job had to find out that, wait a minute, it wasn't God doing this. It wasn't God that caused my child to die. It wasn't God. Somewhere a door got open. Are you following what I'm saying? And I'm saying, once that happens, now you can't get condemned. Because Romans 8 and verse 1 and 2, put it up there, please. Romans 8 verse 1 and 2 says this. There is therefore now, come on, no condemnation to them which are in where? Christ Jesus. Keep going. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, condemnation is heavy. Condemnation will shorten your life as well. You're feeling guilty. You're feeling ashamed. You feeling inferior. All of that is unrighteousness. And the Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. God doesn't condemn you. He convicts you. And conviction leaves faith intact. And you got to know that. You got to know that a lot of people, they can't make it out of a certain place. They can't see the word work in their lives. They try to do this and fail. One step forward, one step back. And many times it's because it's a heart problem. You see, condemnation is a disease of the spirit. And if it's still in there, your spirit is weakened. And if your spirit is weakened, you have no faith to resist the devil every time he comes. There is therefore now what? No condemnation. Here's a revelation for you. Once you confess, put it up there, 1 John 1:9, please. 1 John 1:9. Here's what he says. He says, if thou shalt confess, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Keep going. And to cleanse us from what? All what? Unrighteousness. Notice. All. What's left after all? Once you confess, you are just as clean as Jesus. I'm going to say it again because the devil don't want you to hear it. Once you confess, you are just as clean as the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for you to go back and revisit and revisit and revisit means that you didn't receive that by faith. Folks, you got to confess it. Now, I'm not giving anybody a license of sin because you're going to take that anyway. My point to you is you got a way out. And the devil does not want you to stop feeling condemned. Whatever happened in your life, if you confess it, he's faithful and just to forgive it. And cleanse you. Now, what do? That's going to strengthen you. Now you're going to find out your relationship with God going to come back again. Because sin separates you from the Father. But righteousness joins you with the Father. And now you can hear his voice. And boy, when you hear his voice, hey, me and God talking again. Praise God. Hoo-hoo-hoo. I got you now, devil. We talking again now. It's called fellowship. Are y'all with me? So when Jacob thought he lost his son, guaranteed he felt condemned. Because he felt maybe it's something I did that caused that. And that's where the enemy wants him. Keep him in condemnation. So what we said is he left faith and hooked on with something else. Now he's being worn out. God never planned for you to live that way. Your conscience should be just as free as a bird. Just as free as a bird. Boy. The enemy is the accuser, come on, of the brother. But the blood speaks. Better things than that of Abel. Are you following what I'm saying? Folks, all kinds of stuff bring condemnation. You thinking you're not as good as other people, that's condemning. Or you figure you're not as good as other people. And that's why people can't accept some of the blessings of God. They feel, I'm so unworthy. What? The Bible says you seated with him. Y'all got this here? You're getting this? You think about it. God has designed you to do big things. Oh, there's a lot I want to say about that. All right, let me just finish this because I want to finish this. Now, the best of God. For us to receive the best of God. Now, we said there are two levels. One level you can operate on, which is a human level. We just call it the intellect. And the other level is the blessing level, which we call the spiritual level. Or spiritual power. And we've said about that word strength, is that strength came in and Caleb said, I am as strong today as I was 40 years ago. The strength was there. All right, now let me tell you this. You are designed to believe the unbelievable. Now, the idea is that you believe with the heart. And God would have us to have his best. Now, in this, come back over with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 37. And you will see, glory to God. Can I have a few more minutes with you? Flow. Oh, okay. Healing. In the Bible, you'll see the restoration. In the Bible, you'll see cleansing through the blood. In the Bible, you'll see, I remember this guy, Benson Idahosa, over in Africa. He went to this TV station and asked the lady, like, to get his program on television. And she said, you know, as long as I'm here, you will never get your program on this television. He said, ma'am, I'm going to ask you one more time. I need to get my program on this television. I said, as long as I am general manager here, I never. He said, you are fired. A few days later, they had a major shakeup and she lost her job. Some weeks later, he was going down the road and saw her hitchhiking. Picked her up, got her saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm saying that there is a spiritual level that Jesus operated in, and he seemed to always reach for heaven's solutions. That no matter what the situation was, he called on heaven. Now, this whole idea about the best of God, because that's what I'm talking about. The world operates on a natural level by which, where things on that level only using the intellect or the human logic, they are virtually impossible to do without God. That you've got to have God there. Now, these brothers, they envied Joseph. And when Joseph had these dreams, these big dreams, they didn't like him. And they were trying to scheme to kill him. Now, this envy is a work of the flesh, according to Genesis, Galatians chapter 5. All right, watch me now. Envy means this. It means to feel uneasiness or discontent at the sight of superior excellence, reputation, or happiness enjoyed by another. It means to fret or grieve oneself at the real or supposed superiority of another. It means to hate him on that account. Envy. Now, what am I saying? They were envious of him. Jealousy. Jealousy is uneasiness which arises from a fear that another does or will enjoy something that some advantages that you desire. Jealousy. Envy and jealousy. Now, these brothers. Now, in this, the best of God, when Isaac went down in Genesis 26, a famine was in the land, and the blessing was on Isaac, and Isaac prospered, and the Philistines envied him. Now, Jesus said, they hated me without a what? Without a cause. Because if that blessing is on your life, somewhere is going to show. And when that blessing starts showing on your life, haters come with it. Now, let me finish what I'm saying here. I didn't have any haters when I was in that storefront church at Lake and Pulaski. I want you to hear me now, because I'm talking about the best of God. I'm talking about Canaan. I'm talking about not just stopping at taking medication, but going up to the fact that if any among you sick, let him call for the elders and the anointing with oil. Don't stop there. Go on up to the fact that I can take the word of God and keep sickness from coming in my body. I'm saying, don't just stop at you just having a paycheck of, you know, whatever hourly wage you make and give a little here, but give a little and let that increase start coming. Let that thousandfold, thousand times more start coming. All of a sudden, you putting $10,000 in the plate every Sunday. Come on now. I'm telling you, haters come with it. They didn't say anything about me as long as I had holes in the bottom of my shoes and long as I'm trying to go across to the washer dryer place to get my clothes and my family washed. I didn't have no haters. But the moment I moved up into this here, the moment we purchased a shopping mall of this size, all of a sudden haters came out of the woodworks. I had people that come to me and a pastor, I was shaking hands after a service and he said, "Pastor, forgive me." I said, "For what?" He said, "I said some mean things about you." I said, "Well, why did you do that?" "I don't know why I did it." "Well, that was the devil." Now understand, hatred is under the work of the flesh. The devil inspires hatred, but the hatred has to be in the heart first. See, that envy is in there somewhere. That envy, as long as I was down there, didn't nobody envy me. Didn't nobody care. I had no haters. But when I moved up here and bought this right up in here, and all of a sudden these natural places are paying us rent, then the devil sends haters. I'm saying they didn't stop there because I said, "Okay, maybe it's died down. Praise the Lord." Well, all of a sudden next, we started a business school and we talked about we're going to put it all over. Oh, another group of haters came up. Now, wait a minute. Didn't stop there. All of a sudden, I'm talking about, I believe I've received an airplane. Praise God. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Come on, hater. I'm telling you, you don't have no haters because you ain't making no money yet. But wait till you make some money. You better hear what I'm telling you. Them people who making it know what I'm talking about. People will love you as long as you don't drive up in here with a ghost. I'm talking about a phantom Rolls Royce. As long as you don't drive up here with a ghost, they don't love you, but you drive up in here in something like that, all of a sudden, the haters gonna step back. Say amen. Oh, they gonna love you as long as you don't get that seven-bedroom home with that swimming pool on the inside and got Bill Winston swimming in it. Oh, they gonna love you. Let me come over here. The Bible says they hated him without a cause. Why? Because the blessing was on his life. And the blessing on your life, I'm telling you, haters will come out of nowhere. Oh, I thought I was done. I said, praise the Lord. I got the airplane now. I think they got used to it and so forth. But all of a sudden, the God told me, buy that bank. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord.
Do I have to go through another group of haters? Yes! Because I said they gonna see the blessing on your life. You better believe it. Right up in here right now, there are some people that hate my guts for saying this, because Satan is in your inner council and he's trying to tell you how to think. You need to think like God. And if you think it like God, enough is never as big as you think it is. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you think. I'm gonna do like the Father tells me to do, and I ain't through yet. You just wait and see. And I'm telling you, when you find people that been condemned all their life, they're so low, I can't give away enough. Folks, it's things that we have given away. I'm gonna add up how much we've helped people with. How many clothes, how many things we've given away. But if I tell the newspapers that, do you know they won't print it? They will print, he got an airplane. That's what they'll print, because the devil sends them. He's trying to stop me from telling you that you got the blessing on your life. Well, I'm not going to stop. I used to pray in this place for 46 millionaires to be in here. God said, change that. Change it to 1,000. 1,000 multimillionaires and billionaires to be off in here right now. Now, print that. See, I see now, I can't be controlled by what the Philistines think. Joseph's brothers tried to kill him, but God wouldn't let them kill him because his faith was still on the line. I'm telling you, they can't hurt me. They can't do nothing with me. I'm gonna walk in the blessing of Abraham. And if you're a believer, I'm gonna take you with me. Now you get this. My love is for everybody. I ain't hating nobody. I'm gonna love my haters. Say amen to that. But I'm telling you, my days of you affecting what I preach and what I can have and what I can do and how far up I can go, them days are over. I'm going to the best. I'm going to the top. I'm gonna get all that God has for me in the Word of God. Only one thing is needful, and that is the Word of God. Now give the Lord a praise. Woo! Now you mark my word. You might not have haters now, but you wait till you come into your blessing. You wait. That's the enemy. He's trying to contain the church, because he knows that if we can get that money, we gonna print what we wanna print. We gonna put on television what we wanna put on television. And all these houses that have people that couldn't pay mortgages and all that, we just gonna buy them up and put the people in them. Cause gonna be plenty. I'm talking about trillions. Gonna be plenty. All right, that's all I got. Give the Lord a good shout and let's sit down.